Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening will be taken from the book of the Psalms, and we'll be looking at Psalm 33 tonight. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, I'm going to read from verse 1. I'm actually going to read the entire psalm. So, beginning at verse 1 and reading as follows in the name of our Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. There is no king saved by a multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Amen. Short prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Father, for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, who guides us and instructs us and gives unto us wisdom and knowledge, even as we look at your word tonight. And so we pray again tonight, Father, that you indeed would reveal yourself to us. You would show us who we are, show us who you are, and show us our Savior. And sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. It's Veterans Day. I'm not sure if too many people woke up this morning and commemorated Veterans Day or even thought of it. But it's quite an interesting day. In a variety of ways, Veterans Day is an interesting day simply because it's a day when we can again remember not only those who have laid down their lives for the sake of our country, but those who have gone off into foreign lands and fought on behalf of this country and have come back. And even as we heard our veteran who's in our midst tonight pray, that indeed there's many who have come back and are quite distraught, and as it affected them mightily to the point that they take their own lives, or their the existence that they live now is an existence that is very, very sad. It's good that we would honor those who have gone over and done their duty. And I thought it was interesting tonight as I was looking, or even today as I was looking at this, at text, and was thinking about Veterans Day. I actually went online. You know, you can do just about anything online nowadays. And I typed in scripture verses for Veterans Day. And quite a few came up in this psalm, but actually just one verse in this psalm came up. But as I began to read through this psalm, it occurred to me that this is a very powerful psalm that brings a very clear message across for those who serve in our country in that way. And actually, interestingly enough, I don't know if you read the Review Messenger lately, but there's an article in there, and I'm going to read it for you tonight because I just thought it was fitting. So I'm going to take the liberty to do that. Because this article, I thought this was kind of interesting. I guess we live in rural America still, but when you have a heading on a newspaper article that says, World War II soldier Paul Aho glorified God upon return to Wolf Lake. And I don't know, maybe some of you have already read this, but if you haven't, or if you have, well, hear it again. In light of Veterans Day, this man, Paul Aho, I never knew him, but many of you did, of course. But this is what's written about him in your own Monaga paper, the Monaga Review Messenger. The late Paul Aho was the only one of Jacob Aho's sons from Wolf Lake drafted into service during World War II. Paul's friends and family knew that he served in the U.S. Army during that historic time. Never one to boast about anything outside of his matchless love of Jesus Christ, Paul gave God all the credit and all the glory for his safe return home to his family in Wolf Lake. He also praised God for the privilege of serving in the U.S. Army during the successful Allied campaign to stop the advancement of Hitler's Germany, liberate POWs, and end the war. Paul drove a truck deep into enemy territory where his fellow soldiers successfully carried out their missions. And those who knew anything about what he experienced were amazed that he made it home alive. When he came back, he would thank the Lord for watching over him and bringing him back safely into the midst of his beloved family, said Paul's friend, Norman E. Kangas. Paul was there for Norm and his family after Norm's father left and taught then 12-year-old Norm how to manage the family farm. Paul also managed the Aho family farm when he returned from the war in 1944. He knew enough English to be enlisted following his physical at Fort Snelling. And when he returned, his English had improved. He had a firmer grip on the language than his Finnish-American brothers. So it was a great help to the family as he directed the business activities of the farm. Everyone was overjoyed that he made it back alive. It was a lonely time without him, Norm said, even though Paul wrote many letters home. One of Paul's main tasks in the war was driving a 2.5-ton truck carrying soldiers and equipment into enemy territory during battle. One time in particular, Paul continued to advance the vehicle under heavy fire from the enemy. When going in, the windshield was shot at. Ding, 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 is Norm's recollection of how the story was told to them. The amazing thing is he still lived through it, he said. His trust and faith kept him going. Paul would take cover with the truck after all his fellow soldiers had left to engage the enemy in battle. One time he took cover behind a huge tree. When the battle had been won, Paul began counting the wounded as the medics arrived. This was one of the number of stories Paul shared with family and close friends regarding his service. Paul survived the horrors of the war in the midst of battle and returned unscathed with no injuries that anyone, and they have in parentheses, that anyone was aware of. When asked about anything he did during the war, he said it all happened according to God's will, and glory be to him for it all. It was a theme he repeated throughout his life. A number of his missions were heavily classified according to those who knew him well. Later in his life, while working on the family farm, Paul honed his skills working with animals and became heavily relied upon by locals for his veterinary acumen or knowledge. People started hearing about his skills and brought animals to him, Norm said. And if a cow did not respond immediately to his treatment, he would sleep with them until they came around. There were very few animals that did not respond to his treatment, and he would come to the veterinary aid of his farm neighbors, and at any time he was called, day or night. Norm said $3. This is kind of interesting. Norm said $3 was generally his charge, but depending on the cost of medication, it would sometimes climb as high as $5. Norm said that the children generally loved Paul, and his pockets always jingled with loose change when he was around them. He enjoyed telling jokes with the adults too, and when he'd visit people, he was known for jumping hysterically when the jack-in-the-box popped out of his box at the conclusion of the jack-in-the-box tune. He gave a lot of himself. The military trip took a lot out of him, though, Norm said. The day before he died, Paul made arrangements for his last trip to the hospital. He wasn't very old, Norm recalled. And it goes on to say, basically, they're kind of guessing at his age here in this article. And the whole reason why I read that was not to honor Paul, because as you realize in here, Paul says very clearly it was God who brought him through that. I just found it very interesting as I was preparing for this message to read this article in the paper and to see this man who is beloved by some of you older ones spoke about in this way. This psalm that we read tonight really brings or drives that point home. You know, we honor our veterans, we honor those who serve us in that way. But what we realize, even as Paul Aho realized during his time there in the war and in the midst of the battle, it is that it is God who actually carries us through the battle. Now, he was in a physical battle with a physical enemy firing at him. But we are in a battle as well in our lives as we live here on this earth. And that battle is with our flesh, with sin, and with the devil himself. And therefore, we need to understand who is the one who gives us the victory in the battle. And that's why, you know, really, when you look at a psalm like this is fairly meaningless if one is not a believer. If one doesn't know God and understand the works of Jesus Christ, the finished work on the cross, understand what has taken place for them through the work of Christ, one has a very hard time understanding these words, and perhaps even will turn them into simply a religious endeavor or exercise. But that's not what it is at all. This is a matter of the heart. You see, when one understands, even as Paul Aho did, I'm just going to use him probably periodically throughout this. I didn't know him at all. I didn't know his heart, but I heard a lot about him, even just visiting some of the elderly people in this area. They will speak highly of him, how you would stop in and visit people and take care of their animals and so on and so forth. But he gave glory to God. That's what really struck a chord with me. Do we give glory to God? Do you give glory to God for the simple things in your life? How God carries you from one day into the next day and through that day and continues each and every day of your life, carrying you through all of these things. You see, this is what the psalmist brings out for us. He says, make a loud noise. Sing loudly to your God. Understand who your God is. And that's very hard for us as laid back or quiet, reserved Finnish people or Scandinavians. We almost think it's wrong to be loud. Well, at least some of us. But actually, the psalmist, as he writes here, says, rejoice and praise God on stringed instruments, he talks about here. And he says, lift up your voice, make a loud noise. Let the people, in other words, around you understand who you are serving. There's no better testimony that one person could leave in this world than a testimony like this in the newspaper. Because you know what? I bet you a majority of the people, as they read through that, or at least as they read through that article, are not so much drawn to Paul, but to what he says. God is to be glorified. And if he bragged about Jesus Christ. When we live in this world and go through this world, this is our testimony as well. It is God and God alone who carries us through the thick and the thin of life. And therefore, he tells us, David does, to praise him. To praise him. You see, sometimes I think we look at God in a very distorted way. We almost look at him like either someone to be greatly feared and to be avoided at all costs, or as someone who you simply call on when you need help. Perhaps it's like a teenager with their parents, right? Right, teenagers? Teenagers say you avoid your parents at all costs except if you need something, you know, like money or a car to drive or whatever else it might be. But that's not the way it is at all. The psalmist in this psalm tells us that we are not to be that way at all. We actually, in our lives, praise our God, sing praises to him, understand who he is and what he has done, and live our lives actually constantly, constantly saying all glory to God. Very often, you know, after a service, I'll stand at the back of the church, well, I do every Sunday, and greet people. And some people will tell me, hey, good sermon, Pastor. And the immediate thought to me that comes, or the immediate words that come off my lips are, thanks be to God. And those aren't just like words that I utter to somehow show some false humility. But that's the honest to goodness truth. If God uses my lips to minister to someone in the audience that morning or evening, then thanks be to God, because it is God who ministers through this word. He simply uses people like me and like you to bring it forth. And so we praise him for his word and his work. You see, verses 1 through 3 simply talk about rejoicing and praising God, but verses 4 and 5 talk about the Lord's word and his work. David says, as he describes the Lord and talks about rejoicing and praising him with a loud instrument and with a loud noise, begins to say, well, look what he's done. Look what he's done. Look at the world around you. Look at the creation. Maybe not the world in the sense of, you know, all of the chaos that's going on, especially after this election and all of that stuff. But look at the creation. Look at what God has done. Look how he has created you, given you a marvelous body. He says, praise him for his word and his work. You see, to me, we should be just like stunned and amazed by our God. You ever try to like imagine what God looks like or how he existed before the creation of the world? You ever try to imagine like just a dark, void place where there was nothing? And then all of a sudden God speaks, he simply speaks the word, and boom, there's light and animals and this whole creation. He simply just speaks the word and it comes into existence. Wow. Yeah. All glory to God. You see, we should understand who we're dealing with when we're dealing with the God of the Scriptures. He's not some mere figment of our imagination. He's not someone that we simply run to just when we need something, or someone we actually cower and run from all the time. He is the God of this universe, but he's also our Savior and our Redeemer. He made everything that you see. You can go out, you can fly a rocket ship for as far as you possibly can away from this planet into the far galaxies, and you will see everything that you see there. He spoke it, and it came into existence. And he actually sees you. Is that hard to believe? That in all of this immense universe, in this big globe that we live on, this thing called Earth, with millions and billions of people, he actually looked down upon this service this evening, and he sees you right where you are, and he knows you, and he knows your name. And he watches over you each and every moment of your life. If that doesn't cause you to fall on your knees in worship of him, I don't know what will. God in his kindness looked and watched over Paul Aho as he fought there, as he drove the 2.5-ton truck carrying soldiers, taking bullets through the windshield in order to fight in behalf of his country. If he watched over him, he will watch over you. His word, his work is all there. It's all right there for us to see. His creation. As he goes on further into the psalm, he makes a very interesting statement, because he says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." And you see, really, that's the problem with the human race. There's no fear of God anymore, because we have become God. That's really what we deal with as we deal with people. People have decided that I am God. I will make my decisions. I control my destiny. I will do what I want. I will make up the rules. Fooey with this word. I don't need that anymore. It's archaic. I can do whatever I want. And that means that you just became God. And that's what we deal with in this world. And actually, that's what we deal with in our heart of hearts, if we're honest with ourselves. Because no one wants to be told what to do. No one wants anyone to say, this is what you must do, this is how you must walk, this is how you must live, this is how you must conduct your life as you live in this world, and this is how you are to treat others. No, we're more interested in our own selfish endeavors. We're more interested in our own personal gain. What do I gain out of all of this? How does this benefit me? Instead of simply understanding what has been done for us and how this God has created us and made us his own. And we are his creation, not the other way around. We are the ones who are his creation, who he has spoken to existence, created us from the dust of the earth. He says, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He's taking care of business. One of the most awesome things about being a Christian and understanding God and fearing him in a right way, in other words, with awe and respect, what he says in his word, you in fact do. Like James says, don't be just hearers of this word, be doers as well. What he says, you do. Why do you do it? Because you're afraid he's going to squash you like a bug? No. You do it because you have a healthy fear and respect of him. You know who he is. You know what he's done. And you desire to live in honor and praise of him. Because his counsel stands fast forever. The counsels and the judgments of this world, they'll go and they'll come. And they'll go again. But his judgments and his counsel stands forever. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. We are blessed because God is the God of this nation. Now, I understand quite clearly, as most of you do tonight, that a lot of people don't confess that, do they? They say things like, you know, well, everybody can kind of do their own thing, worship who they want to worship, where they want to worship, and so on. But we can't go down that road. If one thing this president-elect has done for us is that we need to be done with the political correctness. We simply need to speak the truth, and speak the truth we must and shall, and speak it in love. We don't need to come out and condemn people. That's not what the word says. But we simply tell them who is God and tell them what he has done, period. There is no other way. There is no other truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We cannot shy away from that. And his word stands forever. He is, in fact, yes, the creator of this universe and of this world. And he is your God. Do you realize that? For the people who live in this world who say they don't need a God or they don't believe in God, he still remains their God. And your job and mine as well, as we are as believers in this world, is to reveal that God to them through the scripture, as God gives us the ability and the initiative to do so. Because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The Lord looks down and he sees us all. But he sees us in a far different way tonight. You see, you may be sitting there tonight, zoned out perhaps. But you may be sitting there tonight also thinking, well, this is terrible. I mean, this guy is like drilling me tonight. Why is he after me? Why is he talking about God in that way? Or why is he saying that I think I'm God? What exactly is he talking about? I don't understand. Let me tell you about this God who looks down from heaven. This God who looks down from heaven, but he doesn't look down in judgment. Because he carried out his judgment and his wrath on his Son. When I read the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, when we study the Old Testament, we always read it and study it through the lens of the New. We understand, as we read this text tonight and speak about the fear of God, we understand what that means. Because there was one who entered into this world who feared and respected and honored God in a proper way, and that was Jesus the Christ. And in spite of our failings and all of our faults tonight, when we stand here under the mercy and the grace of God. And there we must stand, because we understand that God, in his kindness, sent his Son who took the wrath of God upon himself. And now this is just offered for the world. It's been done, actually. And for some reason, we still don't praise God. All glory to God. Really, when we get up in the morning and swing our feet off of the bed and put them down onto the floor and stand up, we should say, all glory to God. Everything works this morning. Look at that. and off we go. It's really not, you know, like we don't, it's not a religious exercise that you have to do in order to get God to be happy with you. No, it's simply who you are and your response to a loving and gracious God who loves you. That's the whole idea of praise. Praise is a response to an action that has been carried out on your behalf. And we who are Christians, who have experienced the grace and kindness of God through His Son, Jesus the Christ, should be those who praise Him the loudest. He looks down and He sees us. He gives us some very good advice in His psalm, by the way. In verses 16 through 18, or actually 16, just 16 and 17, I suppose. There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. It's kind of a fascinating thing, isn't it? David, who is a mighty king, who actually conquered so many people in battle, says, a king can't be saved by his army. A king is only saved in one way, by his God. And a horse, of course, we don't talk about horses in this way anymore, but a horse is a very fearful thing in the battlefields of the ancient world, where an army would be standing looking at a band of horses getting ready to charge down upon them, and they would be very much afraid. And the men who rode those horses were very confident that they could ride roughshod over those people in front of them, swinging their heavy swords and taking care of business as they went into battle. He says, all of that is worthless. There's only one who keeps you safe and protected. Just like Paul Aho, as he drove that heavy 2.5-ton truck straight down into the enemy's territory, and the bullets bounced or hitting the windshield, and he survived. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory tonight that there's so many people who have joined our military and gone off and fought in behalf of this country in order to preserve our freedom, so that we can sit here or stand here as I am tonight and simply enjoy ourselves. Well, I hope you're enjoying yourself. We can sit here and hear the Word of God without fear. Because men and women nowadays put on a uniform and serve our country, and very often pay the ultimate sacrifice or come home messed up because of the atrocities of warfare. It is God who delivers. And even in death, it is God who delivers. You see, this is the message that the Christian church brings forth into this world. A horse doesn't help any. A tank, whatever you possibly are in your warfare or in your battle, those things are meaningless when it comes to dealing with your God. The eye of the Lord is upon all them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy. And then He says this, very interestingly, and I'm going to close here, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. He keeps us. God is our keeper. He is the one who sustains us. And man, do I need to be reminded of that. As I stress out about my bank accounts or the food on the table or whatever else it might be, it is God who sustains life, because He's the one who gave it after all. It is God who will sustain this nation if it is His will, because He is the one who helped it to be established through the people and the men who fought for their freedom from England so many years ago, and so on, all the way across whatever it is that we've been a nation now. 250 years, is it? It's been a long time. I didn't do the math. And so tonight we close with these two verses. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Place your trust in no other place tonight, my friends, but in his holy name. For our heart shall rejoice in him. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Let your mercy be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, indeed, Lord, you are gracious. You are kind to us in spite of our undoneness, in spite of our rebellion, in spite of us chasing our own ways and turning our backs on you. Yet, Father, in your kindness, you continue to extend your grace and your mercy. And so tonight we confess again that indeed your mercy is new every morning. And each and every day we lean on that mercy, Father. We ask you to guide us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to help us as we go through our lives, as we minister your word to people around us, as we live out our lives. Help us to stand fast upon the truth of your word, to bring it forth, Father, as you have shown it to us in our own lives. And even as we close this service tonight, Father, we offer you thanks. For indeed, Father, to you belongs all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. Because you are the one who not only created us, but you saved us as well and made us your own. So bless us tonight, Father, even as we leave from this place, that we would know and hope and trust in you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.